We were having a conversation, I think, at breakfast time a day or two ago, and I was recollecting that Lumpo Cha would say how when there's a mood arises, you can't just sort of snap your fingers, and sometimes it's so strong you're really carried away by it. But as soon as it's lowered to a degree where you can recognize, wow, this is a strong one, that's where you establish mindfulness. And even that, you can't stop it, but at least you know, oh, I'm in this mood. I've got on this train. The train isn't stopping, but I am on a train and it's going in this direction. And I found that very, very helpful advice. My memory is that I heard Lumpo Cha speaking about that when I was a novice way back when, and one of the senior Western monks was translating. He said, yeah, you know, we get carried away by greed, by irritation, by fear, and that at first it might be something very strong, you've got no perspective on it, but at a certain moment, there's always going to be a thing, wow, this is a strong one, or I'm really getting carried away. There's a moment along the way where it's lowered enough to be able to recognize this train is really moving. It doesn't stop the train. So you're carried along by that flow of feeling. And you know, oh, this is really stupid for me to be following this feeling of greed or fear or, okay, well, I can't seem to stop it just by being aware of it, but okay, well, let's just mindfully watch where it goes. And as you're following that impulse and getting caught in it, then, okay, I'm eating far too much, and I'm aware I'm eating far too much, and my hand and my mouth are still not stopping. Not that that would ever happen with you, but it certainly happened in my life. Then when mindfulness can be established, recognizing, okay, well, where is this going to go? And then when it's finally come to a completion, you've finished all the food or you're completely stuffed, then, okay, now what's the result of having followed that? And looking at that in a kind of clear and uncomplicated way, like, okay, that impulse having been followed, whether it was greed for food or blowing up at somebody, being caught up in some kind of baseless anxiety or paranoid fear of some kind, then, okay, that was followed. How does it feel? Ow! This is where it led to. And then without creating self around it, acknowledging that was an impulse that was followed, this was the result of it, how does it feel? Ow! Here's the cause, here's the effect. So that's what leads to upekkha. The contemplation that supports upekkha is, I'm the owner of my karma, heir to my karma, born of my karma. So the contemplation of cause and effect, the hate porn, that's what leads to upekkha. Not saying it's a good thing that you overate again, but rather, okay, I ate too much, and this is the result of it. The mind dull and heavy and filled with regret all afternoon. Still got indigestion into the evening. Ow! And so, once again, with equanimity and without building a self around it, here's the cause, here's the effect. And then the degree to which that can really be received then helps us to not get caught in the same process again. And Lumpo Pasana spent a lot more time with Lumpo Cha than I did, but that's one particular teaching about getting lost in states. You know. Greed for food was a very prominent feature in my life at that time. And so it particularly stuck with me. And also he had some tactics, like when he was a young monk and was getting caught up in things, he'd say, okay, mangoes, you want mangoes? I'll give you mangoes. He would sometimes overdo it deliberately to kind of, thus have I heard, that he saw his mind going crazy during mango season. He had a very big alms bowl. And so having allowed his arms bowl to be filled with mangoes and knowing an abundance of mangoes at the mealtime, I heard that he ate 37 of them. Okay, you want mangoes? I'll give you mangoes. And then, no, we need more mangoes. 37 mangoes is what I heard. I don't know if you...
Yes.
So within the bounds of the precepts, giving the mind what it's asking for. Like, more mangoes will make you happy. Oh, really? Okay. More. In Shakespeare, the opening lines of Twelfth Night are, if music be the food of love, play on, so that surfeiting, by having too much, the appetite may sicken and so die. If mangoes be the food of bhikkhus, eat on. So that's feeding the appetite might sicken and so die. So in terms of getting swept up by the flood of moods.
Yeah, I mean, certainly for me, one of the things that I find was always very helpful and still helpful in mindfulness of the body. Because sometimes trying to catch mental states and trying to understand mental states, they're out of the station and you're left behind. But using the body as an anchor of attention and mindfulness, then it provides a much clearer mirror, a clearer reflection of the impact of the particular moods and impulses. Then you start to feel the agitation or the heat or the, you know, whatever. And it's mirrored, I think, a lot more quickly. And certainly for me anyway. So using, really developing that mindfulness of the body as a mirror of the moods and impressions of the mind and the workings of the mind, especially restlessness or, you know, any mental state, you feel it in the body as well.
It's very interesting, particularly with greed, although when the mind is following what it takes to be pleasant experiences or pleasant sensations, the kind of karma raga, like eating mangoes, say, for example, that the mind is naming it, oh, this is good, because there's a pleasant taste or there's some kind of impact. But just as Lumpur Sanno was saying, if the mind is pursuing something that it's calling pleasant, and then you bring attention to how that actually feels in the body, it's quite shocking, because without any kind of commentary or sort of prejudgment, when the mind is following what it's calling a sort of pleasant state or getting more of a pleasant experience, it's quite uncomfortable, I find. Physically, it's not pleasant. There's a stressing in the body, also your breathing is constricted. Just the sheer physical sensation of following so-called, you know, pleasant experiences is like, oh, this is pretty awful. If you take away the kind of the pleasant sensation that's coming from what you're tasting or what you're seeing or hearing or whatever, just simple physical sensation on its own, it's quite surprising. Oh, why do I want more of this? This is quite uncomfortable. Why am I doing this to myself? This isn't very agreeable at all. But because the attention is going to the thing, the taste or the smell or the sound or the sight or whatever it is, then because it's focused on that particular sense door, it's not noticing the kayana upasana, the potaba, the physical sensation of it. So that just on its own is a really good thing to develop. Like just to say, well, how does this feel in the body? And then, oh, this isn't very nice at all. And then letting that bring its own buffering or its own way of supporting that disentanglement, letting go, and getting off the train.